Good morning and welcome to the Catalate. Chuck Meeker here at the Kirkside Cafe, where we are served the catechism along with our favorite caffeinated breakfast beverage. And that for me is a latte, although I generally drink my coffee black. But on special days like Friday, as we conclude the work week, I might just go for the latte. So Catalate is what we do around here. And we're going to pour over the catechism, specifically Lourdes Day 27, question and answer 74. And this is a tough question and answer, not for the catechism or for those who subscribe to the Heidelberg Catechism, but within the Reform world at large, as not everyone believes in infant baptism. And so the question goes like this: are infants also to be baptized? And the answer is yes, for since they, as well as their parents, belong to the covenant and people of God, and through the blood of Christ, both redemption from sin and the Holy Spirit, who works faith, are promised to them no less than to their parents. They are also by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, to be engrafted into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, in place of which in the New Testament baptism is appointed. And so we have several biblical texts to look at, including Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Luke 1:14 and 15, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And then Psalm 22:10, I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. And then we have Acts 2:39, which is often the biblical text used to support infant baptism. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Acts 10:47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Genesis 17:14, and the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, he has broken my covenant. And then finally, Colossians 2:11-13, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, we don't have time to do a full apologetic, if you will, regarding infant baptism. And many of those who oppose this doctrine will contend that the sacrament of circumcision isn't that which is replaced by baptism, that it's not that kind of correspondence. One does not replace the other. So even though that male children were circumcised, it doesn't necessarily correlate to children, both male and female, today being baptized and thus distinguished as members in the covenant. But I do want to state this here, even though there is no explicit command to baptize infants, there is plenty of inference and other support texts to suggest, to state that children are to come before the Lord and be recognized as members in the covenant. And this brings us to a preposition. Infant baptism never means that children growing up will always be of the covenant. So we have a distinction here between the visible and the invisible church. What infant baptism shows is the mark placed on children as members in the covenant, but not necessarily of. And the same can be said of those who subscribe to credo baptism or believer's baptism, because we don't know for sure in that person's heart if after that baptism they are true believers. So the baptism itself doesn't secure our standing in heaven. It is that faith which is given to us being that instrument by which we are justified. And our justification hinges on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, not on what we do. And that's a very important point. But this business of invisible and visible church, I just want to speak a little bit more on this. So baptism and even later the profession of faith, or in some churches called confirmation, as those enter the church, they are visibly seen in the church, and we trust by their confessing Christ that they are also of the church. And what I mean by that is of the church being invisible. That means those who are always of the church, of the elect, chosen by God. So we have this faith that our adults who make profession of faith, even our adults who are baptized, make that credible confession, are in and of the church. Visibly we see them, and we trust they are of that invisible church, of that number that God has always secured, that elected number. But we baptize our infants with the understanding that they are to be distinguished from the children of the world, and therefore become non-communicate members in the church, baptized members in the church. And therefore the sign of the covenant is upon them, and we trust that they will be engrafted in the tree of life in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the church, and forever of the church. But those who argue against infant baptism often come up with this question: how do you know that this person is going to be saved when he or she has not made a credible confession? And I would argue, well, if you're going to go down that path, the question can also be posed: how do we know that the person who's an adult, who says with his mouth or her mouth that they are confessing believers, won't later despise their baptism? Again, the baptism isn't that ultimate, sure-fire gateway into heaven, in that once the sacrament has been performed, that individual is guaranteed to be in heaven and always among the elect. That's our trust, that's our hope, and that's the promise given. But just like we see in the Old Testament with Ishmael and Esau, those who were circumcised and later despised that sign by rejecting God, demonstrates that the sacrament isn't that guarantee of salvation. So much more could be said, and we just don't have the time this morning to do that. But this brings me to a concluding point. Occasionally we hear something called improving our baptism, and this is language drawn from another catechism. But what I want to say with that is what baptism does, when we witness it, when we participate as a church, it forces us to reflect on what that washing does upon the infant or upon the adult, and the grace that was extended to us, that we would live and move and have our being as new, transformed creatures in Christ. And so this sacrament is absolutely powerful and beautiful to witness. Again, so much more could be said, but we are out of time, well over our time. So this weekend, should the Lord give you another day or two to live for Him, walk with the King, and be a blessing.